Welcome to this partner episode. Marlon Summers and I, Jaron Miller, are here to speak about and respond to some comments that we have received in regards to men and women, and specifically some pushback that we've had about female guests in our episodes. So we'll begin by reading some of these comments that we have received. On a recent episode that we published with Janelle Glick, somebody on YouTube said, "I thought women were not supposed to teach men. Why is this woman teaching this guy Bible stuff? Ha ha." Somebody named Benjamin left a comment saying, "A Proverbs 31 woman is a businesswoman who runs her own business and buys her own property and is most definitely not being quiet and making whoopie pies all day for her husband while he tells her how to live her life. Paul is the only person in the whole canon of Scripture to tell women to be quiet." Somebody named MD left a comment on an episode that we did with Christy Mast. MD says, "I think AP is crossing the bounds by inviting female participation here, even with it mostly focusing on women's issues." Somebody left us a comment on an episode called "Jesus, a Refugee" by Josh Nisley. This comment says, "There's different understandings and definitions of what Jew and Greek or Gentile means. But why does everyone stop there? It goes on to say there is no longer bond or free, male or female, but all are one in Christ. Things are supposed to be kept in context. So according to this, should women be ordained as pastors now?"
Thank you, Jaron. So, variety of things brought up there, and obviously people approaching them from a variety of angles. Probably think mostly about the pushback coming on our podcast. And I think just to say it up front, we'll discuss the pushback and reasons. Just to say it up front, we would like to have more sisters on the podcast than what we have. So it is something that we are committed to, and we'd actually like to see the ratio grow a little bit in terms of women in relationship to men on the podcast. We're thankful for it. So if we frame that in light of some of the reservations expressed there, especially in the one comment, why? And maybe the better question would be, why not? Jaron, did you have some thoughts on what you think the possible whys or why nots are? Maybe especially, do those things relate to a podcast?
I don't think so. And I'll try to give a little bit more definition to that. But I'd like to start by recommending a book that has influenced me. The book was written by Michelle Lean Barnwell. The book is called "Neither Complementarian Nor Egalitarian: A Kingdom Corrective to the Evangelical Gender Debate." So she's speaking into evangelical conversations around the place that men and women should or should not have in leadership. And at least in evangelical circles, and I think this comes over some into Anabaptist circles also, the two camps that are established are often egalitarianism and complementarianism. Michelle Lean Barnwell characterizes the complementarian and egalitarian positions as a debate over male authority versus female rights. And the basic summary of her book is that she's critiquing both positions. saying that the debate frames the question badly. She points out that Christians are called to surrender rights and to lead by humble service. Rights is something we surrender. Authority and leadership is something that Jesus calls us to do by means of service and coming under and supporting rather than taking authority from the top down. So if we primarily frame the question in terms of rights and authority rather than the way that Jesus calls us to relate to each other and to think about our rights, we'll probably be missing the things that Jesus wants us to be thinking about. You know, that's way too brief of a summary of the book. I would encourage our audience to go and read the book. But I mentioned that as the background or some of the background context for my thinking about these questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have not read the book, but I have heard other people make the same observation about the way that debate tends to get framed. And I also found it very interesting. The subtitle was A Kingdom Corrective. And then she's pulling in those ideas, which are very much the ideas in mind when we chose our, you know, mission statement referring to Jesus' sacrificial kingdom. A key part of it. Which is not to say that we'll agree with the whole book, but I found that noteworthy.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I agree with the whole book either, but I would say that there is indeed strong resonance between the way that she calls us to ask the questions and what we're trying to do here on Anabaptist Perspectives. She explicitly, clearly, and deliberately avoids taking a position in the debate. I imagine she has a side that she sympathizes with more, but it wasn't the purpose of her book to take a side in the evangelical debate. So yes, let's ask the questions well. And she doesn't like the dichotomy between egalitarianism and complementarianism. But the unfortunate fact is that at least in the evangelical world, and probably in the Anabaptist imagination too, there are the two camps. So when we get comments saying that we shouldn't have women teaching Bible stuff or that AP is crossing the bounds by inviting female participation, I think I can be pretty certain that people from the egalitarian camp aren't saying these things. That's not the kind of thing that egalitarians say with integrity and sincerity. So my mind goes to, perhaps this is coming from folks following the complementarian category and line of thought. So there's this document called the Danvers Statement on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, which I believe, at least in the evangelical world, is often seen as one of the definitive, concise articulations of the complementarian position. The statement has several sections. First section is rationale. Second section is purpose. The third section is affirmations. This is the final section, and it has 10 subpoints, which basically, given the rationale and the purpose it's trying to accomplish, here's the nitty-gritty particulars of what the statement has to say. I think point six is relevant here, which I will read. Point six has two subpoints. So here's the first subpoint of point six. In the family, husbands should forsake harsh or selfish leadership and grow in love and care for their wives. Wives should forsake resistance to their husband's authority and grow in willing, joyful submission to their husband's leadership. Then in parentheses, there are several Bible passages. Here's the second subpoint of point six. In the church, redemption in Christ gives men and women an equal share in the blessings of salvation. Nevertheless, some governing and teaching roles within the church are restricted to men. Then again, in parentheses, there are several Bible verses. So if the question is, why would we have female guests? We want it to be a service to the church and God's people. It's edifying. It's upbuilding. The women we have on are able to clearly and helpfully speak about topics and issues, and we want it to be of service. And I believe that it is. If we ask the question, why not? I mean, I think that's still the outstanding question. Why not? This statement, which I believe is the complementarian position, says that some governing and teaching roles within the church are restricted to men. Participation as a podcast guest is not governing, and it's not a teaching role within the church. So the restrictions that I'm familiar with in the complementary position don't apply to this. So for me, the question of why not is still, you know, completely unresolved. That hasn't been offered to us in the critiques that we've received by means of emails and YouTube comments.
Yeah, thank you, Jaron. Yeah, I mean, just a bit of my own reflection. I don't have all the details figured out or are not prepared to offer a, you know, full reading of all the different scriptural witnesses and get an exact detail. It is my understanding, with the Danvers statement that you read, that essentially the elder role within the church is to be led by men. That is how I would understand scriptures. And I would understand when scripture talks about elders, it's referring to the plural group who has set the direction of the church. And yeah, even the teaching roles there, especially connected with the kind of the things that need to be authoritatively taught, or taught with kind of, you know, elder level authority, which is different than explaining, different than the kind of conversations that go on a podcast. It is that role, in a sense of, as I would see it, of kind of a directive teaching within the local church, where, yes, somebody is an elder, somebody has that weight, elder, bishop, overseer, different terminology that can be used there. So no, I don't see that applying to a podcast. And yeah, feel like I would be remiss to even mention that restriction, which I do agree with. And I, without talking about, you know, what do we see positively about women in the, well, in the local church or in evangelism or whatever. And one of those things we see in the New Testament clearly is, you know, women were taking the kind of roles that were getting named. Well, okay, it's debatable whether or not the roles were getting named. They were taking the kind of roles that led to them being mentioned in particular. So when Paul mentions his co-workers, you know, that list has a lot of women in it. Romans 16, other places. When we read the book of Acts and Apollos, there's a zealous man who did not have a full understanding, knew the baptism of John, and it was Priscilla and Aquila who took him aside and taught them. So her contribution to that was significant enough that she's mentioned along with her husband. And I think it's significant that she's mentioned first. So she may have been the one doing more of the instructing, even as she was doing it along with her husband. I don't think those things conflict with the view of men as elders. But if they're named as co-workers, presumably those were visible roles, and they were talking in public and so on. And so, yeah, I'm very glad we can have sisters talking in public here. And I will say, on the other question, which was not a criticism of having women guests on the podcast, but raising the question of women's ordination, presumably meaning to an office like elder or something like that, or sort of officially recognized roles. You know, I recognize the pool there. You know, in Christ, there's no longer Jew nor Greek, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, male or female. Because, I mean, think about if we took any of those other categories, if we said, well, you can't be an elder if, you know, yeah, you can be fully in Christ if you're a Gentile, but you can't be an elder. We'd be like, wait a minute. You know, Galatians means more than that when it says there's neither Jew or Greek. It doesn't just mean you can, you know, squeak into the church. It means full participation. So I understand the pull there to say, okay, neither male nor female. So that means all roles are equally open to all. I feel the pull. But at the same time, it feels to me like we have enough detailed discussion scattered throughout the New Testament there that, you know, the eldership is a male role. And it seems in some ways correlate with what Scripture says about marriage and husbands and wives and so on. Again, I do not have those things figured out, so I'm not going to say any more than that, other than that Scripture does seem to make some sort of correlation there. I don't think they're two totally disconnected teachings. So, if you're looking for something more thorough, go find something more thorough. We are not prepared to offer it to you.
Many, many books, much research. Many podcasts besides ours have given much, much, much time to this. So, yeah, feel free to go and research further. Well, thank you, Marlon, for engaging with these comments and feedback that we have received. And thank you to each of you listening for giving us your attention here and for supporting Anabaptist Perspectives.
Yes, thank you.